And a good morning to you. Welcome to the show. The Back Nine Boys Golf Show is brought to you by Bridgestone Golf. Play the ball that fits for you. By Kent Wool, the world's best sock, and by Sea Palms Resort, home of the Miracle Practice Facility. This morning, we're going to be talking with Craig Allen, the director of the Sea Island Golf Performance Center, about what we will learn, you will learn, about TrackMan and then about videos and the difference between the two. Plus, what brand of clubs are most popular now. Then we'll talk with Wes Whittingham of Volvic about their newest entry, the XT Soft, and their new Marvel golf ball. And then our next guest will be PGA's Jonathan Bird. Jonathan, who lives here on the island, Jay Bird and I will talk about the tour, its policies of testing, his schedule for the balance of the year, and his teenage son, Jackson, who had a great day at the Golden Isles Invitational, a great finish as well, and then he had a great finish at the Rocket Mortgage Tournament up in Detroit. But first up is Craig Allen, director of the Sea Island Golf Performance Center. Craig and I talked about what TrackMan and videos can show about our swings, which sometimes we really don't want to know, and most importantly, the difference between the two.
Well, they're really two completely different things in that, you know, TrackMan giving you specific data relative to the ball flight and club delivery, whereas video is giving you the opportunity to see your swing on film and be able to look at the motion as a whole. You know, one is very, very specific, and one is a little bit more visual in that you then have to make some adjustments or, you know, reactions to the particular golf swing on video.
Right.
If you want specific numbers relative to the golf swing itself, it's better to use a 3D system like we do, like Gears, for example,
okay,
or something like that, which will give you specific measurements in the golf swing. The video part of it is more of a generalized look, as I would like to look at it. I wouldn't say that you can live and die by what you see on video, because just the placement of the camera can make a big difference in the angles in terms of where the swing
right
might look like it's swinging, whereas the TrackMan is going to be a little bit more specific on the numbers part of it.
And when people first look at a TrackMan, it seems, what I've gotten feedback from some of the guys that I play with and some of the people that have gone through it, is that they always say, I thought I hit that ball farther. But it does so much more than not only how far you hit it, but also the other things that you need to be concerned about, which are swing speed and speed of the golf ball and miles per hour and all that other stuff.
That's right. I think most people think that they hit the ball farther than they really do, and I think that is because they base it off of that one really good shot that they've hit 3 weeks ago or whatever it is.
Or 2 years ago.
Right. Versus an average.
Right. Right.
So what we like to work off is an average of carry. So a lot of people also base it off of their total. So they'll hit a shot into a green, it pitches on the front of the green, rolls to the back of the green. Well, they think that, you know, that's how far they hit the clubs. Well, that's only relative to how that ball reacted on that green. So we work off of carry numbers. And then as far as the other numbers that are very important, obviously the amount of speed you can generate in your swing is important. Then the consistency of ball striking, so the smash factor, to try and generate more ball speed. The golf ball is a projectile. The faster it goes, the more potential it has.
Right.
And then within that, you're trying to obviously dial in the launch conditions. So the launch angle, the spin rate, the overall height at its highest point, and then in turn the descent angle or landing angle, as TrackMan says, to be able to really produce the most efficient ball flight. That's relative to ball flight itself.
So if somebody says they hit a 7-iron 140 yards, they may, by the time it ends up stopping, but their carry on that club may be 130 yards, which is important if you're trying to carry a sand trap or water, and that's what TrackMan can help you with.
That's right. So, you know, carry number is really the number that matters for the most part, because it tells you what you can and cannot accomplish. And then if you have a well-fit set of golf clubs, the ball should stop within a reasonable distance after that anyway. So if you're not getting that stopping power, you likely have incorrect golf clubs, because the ball is coming in too shallow on the landing angle and the total height's not high enough. So really it's a double-edged sword.
All right, when you're fitting, what are the most popular putter grips that you see going out now on putters?
Well, for a long time, it was the big oversized putter grips, super strokes, flat cats, all of those types of things. We're seeing a little bit of a kind of a back to normal scenario now. And so, you know, we get a spread across the board. I think finding a happy medium between the super oversized putter grips and the old traditional small paddle and pistol grips is probably where we'll land in the marketplace, I believe. And I think really getting fit for a putter and making sure that the grip fits correctly in your hand and helps whatever you tend to produce in terms of a stroke shape. And I think that's important too, is, you know, people who, you know, maybe tend to get a little bit too much face rotation in their stroke, or they get a little jumpy in their stroke, maybe the bigger grip does help them. But in turn, somebody who maybe is a little too rigid or doesn't have a ton of feel, maybe a slightly smaller grip to get that putter to have a little bit more feel and get a little bit more flow in their stroke probably is better.
Do you think that the bigger putter grips take your hands out of the putting stroke, or does it even accentuate more the hands in the putting stroke?
Well, I think the intent is to take it out of the putting stroke, but I don't know that it always accomplishes that. I think sometimes people, they don't feel like they have a good grip on it because they're, you know, the grips are kind of big, and then they might even get a little bit more active. So I don't know. I think it's player to player, but I think the intent is definitely to take it out.
Yeah, and I've also found that sometimes you can see people gripping the clubs too tight, which also can create tension in your arms, whether it's with your regular clubs or with your putter. How do you work with that as far as the Sea Island Golf Performance Center on their grip pressure?
Well, I don't know that that's like a huge point of emphasis, but certainly when you see somebody that's one extreme one way or the other, either they're not holding on tight enough, and when they hit the ball, you know, that face is twisting or they're losing control of the face, then obviously we want to work on that. And then if you get somebody who is gripping it so tight that they're not allowing the club to hinge and unhinge and swing and release correctly, and and all of those characteristics, especially in short game shots and you know, even in full swing shots, then we'll address that and try and make sure that A, the grips are the right size. That can be an indicator that maybe they're gripping it too tight because the grips are too big or too small, normally too small. And then maybe making sure that their grip itself is on the club correctly, you know, within certain parameters. We're not in the world where everybody's grip has to look the same. I mean, it has to match the shape of your swing and your body type and all of those types of things. But, you know, really just making sure that all of those things are dialed in, but not a huge point of emphasis for us.
All right, and then talking about bigger grips, there are also a lot of bigger grips. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau has put a lot of emphasis on those Jumbo Max grips that are huge. Mm-hmm. Do bigger grips on your regular clubs, does that make your shot less with the hands, more or less handsy, or more handsy?
Well, again, the intent is definitely to be less handsy, and I think we see a lot of people come to us, senior golfers and ladies specifically, who just have massive grips on their clubs, and they do it primarily because they have arthritis or something like that.
Right.
And that's fine. If there's a, you know, medical reason for it, I totally get it. But I would say that I prefer to see people with grips that fit their hands or even are a hair under on the average golfer, just to make sure that we're generating as much speed as we can possibly generate. Now, on a better player, it's probably a little bit better to err on the slightly on the bigger side, because then that will slow the face rotation down and probably make them a little bit more consistent. But ultimately, getting the right grip size is the goal.
And would the larger grips have an effect as far as your distance if you don't get through the ball?
Well, yeah, on the extreme side, it definitely would. So if, let's say, for example, you took a lady who uses a lady size grip and then you put a men's oversized grip on it, chances are that she'll have less wrist hinge, less club rotation, probably a shorter swing because of the less hinge in the backswing.
Right.
Likely could lose some speed. I think that would have to be proven out on the track, man, but I would guess that it might happen.
Okay, in the fittings, what have you seen more as far as brands of drivers going out of the Performance Center that you're recommending with people?
Well, it's very player dependent for sure. You know, we fit to performance, not brand, but I will say that the TaylorMade Sim Max, the Callaway Maverick Sub-Zero, and the Ping G410 have been very good to this point. They're very consistent. They always seem to be in the conversation, with the sleeper being the Mizuno ST200.
Really? Now, Mizuno has not had a lot of drivers. I think a couple of years ago is when they introduced them at the PGA show again. So that's a new one into the mix.
Yeah. You know, we focused on Mizuno irons for years. And 2 years ago, they came out with the ST190 and ST190G. And the performance was just sneaky good. And so, you know, now they're onto the 200 model, and the quality is really, really good, and the performance is quite surprising. You know, it shouldn't be there. They're a great company, but yeah, as you say, woods have not been their thing.
And what about irons? What are you seeing? A lot of people, again, player performance or player preference. What are you seeing as far as people trying out?
We're seeing a good mix across the board this year. It's really a nice, deep category this year. You know, on the, let's just say the slightly better player side, we're seeing a lot of movement on the Titleist Callaway side. And then on the more moderate player, the active weekend golfer, we're seeing a nice mix across the board. A lot of TaylorMade P790s, a lot of Ping G410s, the new 700. And on the super player improvement or game improvement irons, we're seeing a lot of the Maverick Max and the TaylorMade Sim Max, and even some AP3s on TaylorMade. And then on the high-end side, you know, we're still doing a fair amount of PXG product.
All right, COVID-19. We had a big kind of roll and some momentum after the PGA show of 2020. Then COVID-19 came in, a lot of stopping, a lot of online work, obviously affected a lot of things. Do you think that the golf business is going to come back, or do you think we're always going to be in a precaution-type mode?
Well, I mean, you know, deep down, obviously, I hope we come back and can get back to a sense of normalcy in life, not just in golf, but in
life.
But, you know, on the golf side, we've been surprisingly busy. Obviously, we're taking all possible precautions, face masks, cleanliness has been ramped up. We're doing everything that the CDC guidelines are telling us to do. And I've been surprised. I think one good thing about golf is it's an outdoor sport. You can socially distance very easily. Mm-hmm. The game has adapted in terms of noodles in the cups, no rakes in the bunkers, you know, all these little things, single cart riders, more walking, which is great for the game.
Right.
Bottled water as opposed to water fountains, all these just little things. Golf is very adaptable. So I think we're very fortunate in the game of golf that I think of all the sports out there and all the industries out there, we're probably being affected as little as possible. I think where the manufacturers are struggling a little bit is getting some product and some components because of the shipping from overseas and things like that. So that's where we're seeing a little bit of an issue. But in terms of just overall the game, I think obviously the revenue lost during the COVID closures in all the different states is mm-hmm. you're just not going to make that up. That's just a loss. But in terms of slowly ramping back up, I think from what I've heard from my friends in the industry, I think we're doing okay.
And doing okay is just that. I mean, that's some good comments from Craig Allen, the director of the Sea Island Golf Performance Center. Coming up on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show, we're going to be talking with Wes Whittingham about Volvic's new entries. The Marvel golf ball comes in black and white, and the new ST Soft. And then we have Jonathan Bird coming up talking about his schedule, what's going on the PGA Tour, and his son, Jackson. But first, we got to tell you about, you got to make a decision right now about what you're going to do for dinner tonight. Best suggestion we can give you is CJ's Italian Restaurant. Check out their full menu at cjsitalianrestaurant.com. They make it so easy. All you got to do is call up, make your order, give them your name. They will meet you when you drive up to their place right on Mallory Street across from Parker's, and they will bring it to you. It'll be hot, it'll be ready, and you know it was made fresh because every day they make their sauces, their doughs, their breads, their dressings, their toppings. Every day they're getting them ready for you, like right now. So take your time, make a call to CJ's Italian Restaurant and check out their full menu of appetizers and salads, sandwiches, pastas. Most of all, they're known for their deep dish, and it is great. But their thin crust is also good. So check out everything at CJ's Italian Restaurant and their full menu at cjsitalianrestaurant.com.
This is Tim Fincher, past commissioner of the PGA Tour with the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
And welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles. You know, Volvic is one of the golf balls that started making all the colors, and they've entered the market now with a new ball, the XT Soft. And on the phone with us from Volvic is Wes Whittingham. Good morning, Wes, and welcome to the show.
Well, hello. Good morning.
How are you?
Wonderful, thank you. Yourself?
Doing great. All right.
Good.
XT Soft.
Yeah.
Just come out. Yeah. Tell us about it.
Fantastic new product. Three-piece, urethane, soft compression. This is a 65 compression ball. Perfect for players with moderate swing speeds.
Okay.
When I say moderate, you know, I'm talking about 75 to 90, 95 miles per hour. And we also included some alignment, a visual alignment system on the side of the ball. So it's a three-stripe system, all the same color. It's not too intrusive. Looks really good. Helps you when you're lining up a putt.
Yep.
Or if you want to use it as a visual alignment off the tee, you can do that as well.
You know, I played it yesterday. I was impressed with the performance, but, you know, those lines are becoming more popular, and either you make them on your own, or I like that it came on the golf ball.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you completely. I mean, I think it's been a long time coming in the industry.
Yeah.
People have been doing this for years and years.
Right.
And finally, it's becoming kind of standard practice almost for most golf manufacturers now with their premium golf ball line.
Yeah, and, I know this is a new ball for you guys, and it's in the over $35 category, but, you know, it's still very reasonably priced for what you get. How has it been received so far?
Been fantastic. It comes in optic yellow and what we like to call an optic white. Has a nice glossy finish. The feel around the greens has been fantastic, and all the players that we've that have commented on the product have had great things to say about it.
All right, you've also here's a great question, I think, because there's so many golf balls out in the market. Y'all have a lot of different brands of golf balls. So what makes this golf ball different from all the others that are out there?
Great question. So the way we engineer our product is completely different from all other manufacturers from the standpoint of our core construction. So the way we build a core at Volvic is that the softest part of the core is actually on the exterior of the core, closest to the surface of the golf ball, and the hardest point is at the very center of the core, whereas all other manufacturers actually have the hardest part of the core on the exterior and the softest part on the very center. The reason why we do that is to create a more responsive core for a variety of different club head speeds.
Okay.
This way you get better ball velocity when the ball leaves the club face with really, Rich, every club in the bag. You know, so many manufacturers build a golf ball that's great maybe off the driver, but you're really not seeing that compression benefit off irons, and we're building a product that's great all the way through the bag.
Well, you just answered my next question. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of things, it just makes it so much different. How long did the research start on this product? Because what I don't think a lot of our listeners understand is when you guys come out with a new product, it's a couple years from when the research was first started to when the product actually gets out into the marketplace.
At least.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Typically, it takes us anywhere from 2 to 3 years before a product really sees the light of day, and you'd be surprised how many great thoughts or ideas or concepts never see the light of day.
Right.
And so, you know, the time frame is certainly pretty lengthy. We go into a lot of research now on the aerodynamics of a golf ball. You know, what keeps a golf ball in the air and what keeps it flying straight, right? Because
right.
The straighter a ball goes, the farther it's going to go. And everybody lives within the limitations of the USGA in terms of initial ball velocity, et cetera. So, you know, there's a certain cap, if you will, on what we can do with a golf ball
right.
In terms of distance to keep it within the conforming rules of the United States Golf Association. But it's all these other things that we try and provide players of all different skill sets a really premium ball that fits their game. And I think that's the key.
Yeah, yeah.
Players out there have to really look and do a little bit of research. It's out there. They can find it, especially if they visit our site at www.volvic.com. But get the golf ball that really fits your game.
Yeah, and I think that is important, and people do need to do more research to find out which ball is going to fit their game. And Golf Digest gave the new ball a gold star. What does that mean to Volvic as far as that endorsement by Golf Digest?
Well, it means quite a lot, quite frankly. Yeah. I mean, I hate to get overly advertorial here about our product and the gold, but it recognizes our product as being one of the very top-performing golf balls in that premium, super premium category. And we're up against all the other top-grade urethane products that are in the marketplace. And essentially they're saying, hey, this ball shines just as brightly as any of these other products. And if you want a soft compression urethane premium ball, you have the confidence of playing a Volvic XT Soft. And it's just as good as anything else out there, maybe better.
And that gives the endorsement from a third party rather than you telling me, Rich, you got to try this ball. Here you got Golf Digest that works with all the other companies saying, this is a product you need to try.
No question about it.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Tell us about the Marvel line. I was also very impressed with what I saw online about that. I mean, those are just fun.
Yes. We're having, you know, and you hit it right on the head. We are having so much fun with this.
Yeah.
This is obviously a lucrative licensing scenario that we have with Marvel. It's been fantastic for us. We just launched the Black Widow. This is an addition to a series of six other characters that we have in the line that include Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, the Hulk, Black Panther. And the great thing about this is that there are so many people that embrace and engage the entire Marvel product line that may or may not even be golfers.
Right.
But they see this product and they immediately have to have it. And we just added Black Widow to the lineup literally yesterday. And if any of your listeners want to take a look at the product, it is available for sale on our website. And we're already packing feverishly, quite frankly, the shipments that are going out to all our retail partners.
I think that's great. I mean, those are some good products. And as you said, they're just fun. The only one I probably would have a problem with would be the Hulk, because then I think I would be able to hit that farther. Which I know is not going to happen. but it's a great line. I mean, what you've done with Marvel over the years has been great. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, you have really led the market with the colors, which has forced other companies, including the big names, to go out there and put out other colors of their normal white golf ball.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have. And, you know, we feel like we really set the table for color golf balls within the industry, period. We are number one in colors. We are number one in matte finish sales. We introduced the matte finish to the marketplace. Interestingly, all the other manufacturers have really capped their portfolio of product into the really two or three different colors, whereas we still provide eight different colors in our number one matte finish Vivid product line. So we're a strong advocate of color. I think it's, as you said, it's fun. There's so many new people now that are starting to enjoy the game. Unfortunately, it's thanks to this COVID-19 pandemic, but
yeah.
Every day I'm seeing more and more players out on the golf courses. I mean, they're packed where I live.
Which is great.
And the beauty of it, though, is that a lot of these players are seeing the benefits of playing different color golf balls.
Yeah.
So we're not just seeing everybody out there with a white golf ball.
Right.
And that's not only been gratifying for us as a company, but it's an awful lot of fun to see out on the golf course.
It is. And Wes, it's also always fun to talk with you about what's going on at Volvic. Thank you for the update, and thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Wes Whittingham, Volvic. Try out the new Marvel golf balls if you want to have some fun on the golf course. And check out the new product, the XT Soft, right here on Volvic.com. So, what's up next? PGA Tour's Jonathan Bird will be right back on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Sir Nick Faldo, and you are listening to Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
And welcome back. Thanks for being with us. We're now on Facebook Live. We appreciate you being with us. And our next guest is Jonathan Bird, five-time winner on the PGA Tour. Good morning, Jay Bird. How are you?
Good, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for taking time on a Saturday morning. I know with all your family activities, I just appreciate you taking the time.
No problem.
All right, so we've had some things going on around the country. How are you doing during all this COVID situation?
I think our family's doing well on this during this situation. We came out of the quarantine at home. I think it was good for our family just to get to spend some good time together.
Right.
If you're just trying to dwell on the positives, homeschool was a little difficult. After a while, in the beginning, the routine was good. You know, our kids had school in the morning. My son Jackson and I would go to the golf course in the afternoon. We kind of got in a good rhythm. And then Jackson's school ended up being in the afternoon, the girls in the morning, and we had a hard time with the routine. And we just got tired of, you know, like everybody says, a great appreciation for our teachers at that moment when we had to actually try to do their job.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be hard.
Yeah.
But then after that, I got in a few tournaments recently, and, you know, Jackson and I have been working on our games. He's been able to get in some tournaments. So we've been doing okay. It's tough watching the news, and it's hard for my wife just not knowing about school and what things are going to look like.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the biggest thing in her world is just her family and her kids in school and just not knowing how things are going to play out, I think, is the hardest part for everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the tour has done a great job of testing. I know, you know, some of your friends and my friends have tested positive, but I think the tour is doing a good job. How do you feel about it?
I think the tour is doing a fantastic job.
Yeah.
I was talking to Jay Monahan last week and Andy Pasner, and they were just saying how one of the things that's helped the tour so much is we've had a sponsor that's actually through the Champions Tour they've been able to do all the mobile testing.
Oh, that's great.
So they've been able to set up mobile testing at Champions Tour and PGA Tour events so we can go on, say, Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, whenever you get on site, go do your test. And within about 90 minutes, you have your results back.
Oh, wow.
And based on what all the other testing times are, I mean, that's extremely fast.
Sure.
And that makes it so players can't go on the grounds now. They can't go to any practice facilities, can't go on the golf course until they have a negative test result. So, you know, that's really helped the tour out. You know, I think our sport helps us out because we're able to social distance, and then just a lot of our players have just taken it seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have to, because, you know, the biggest thing about the future is we've got a big question mark. We don't know what really normal is going to be, and we may be in right now what may be normal from now on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. You had a great tournament up in Detroit, 14 under, top 15, top 10. You got to be thrilled about that after all the stuff you've been going through at home, but practicing at home and with Jackson obviously helped get you up into Detroit, and you had a great tournament.
I did. It was, I've been working with Daniel Gray for I guess, of it's been not quite a year and a half, but almost. I started working with Tom Hemmings this off season, and trainer at Sea Island. Started working back with Mo a little bit, Mo Morse Pickens, golf psychologist, and I have a new caddy, Travis Williamson, who's kind of a local guy. Grew up in Brunswick Country Club, really good player. Unfortunately, he's had some wrist injuries, so he's been sidelined, but he's been helping me out. So I got my whole team here local, which has been
pretty
fantastic. So yeah. During this whole virus, I've been able to get some good work in, and I feel like my game was kind of getting better and getting more solid, started putting a little better, and then I was not sure if I was going to get in any tournaments this summer. I thought there was a chance I might not get in any with my past champion status, and there was a chance I might only get in one. And then you just don't know. You don't know what players are going to play in.
Right.
And then obviously after such a long drought, you know, most of the players are playing every week. Make up for that lost time. So I went and tried to Monday for a Korn Ferry event, actually two Korn Ferry events down in Jacksonville in St. Augustine, and I shot 7-under in the first one or 6-under in the first one and missed by one, and I had Jackson caddying for me. And then the second one I shot 7-under and qualified, had a pull cart. And then Travis caddy for me in that tournament. I missed the cut and didn't play well. And then we actually went on vacation with my family, and I took Jackson to the Future Masters. So I had about 10 days off.
Right.
Where I didn't touch a golf club in 10 days. And then the day we got back from a vacation, I found out I got in Detroit. I got a sponsor exemption. So flew up there and had about 2.5, you know, pretty much 2 good days of work and got ready to play and played well in the tournament. So, you know, I think, one, I put in some good work, but then I was rested from taking some time off, and fortunately had a really good week in Detroit. Got up in the mix and just played solid. And some of my changes I'm working on is starting to show in my scores.
Is it hard to make changes? I mean, I know I could probably have 30 changes that I could make in my game, but is it hard for you at this stage of your career to make changes, and how long does it take for you to make those changes before you start seeing some results?
You just never know.
Right.
You know, everybody wants those changes that happen like instantaneously.
Those are
the nice ones. I've had times where and the reality is that doesn't work that way a whole lot.
Right.
Now, I look back and I've made some tweaks at tournaments, like, you know, on a Tuesday of a tournament week and won that week. But you know, you look back on it and was that really the reason you played so well? You know, I remember going to the John Deere Classic, and I'd missed a bunch of cuts, and I wasn't driving it well, but I was putting really well. I was doing so many other, hitting my irons well. I just couldn't seem to get the ball in play, and I was hitting, like, a couple tee shots around that was just killing my scores, and I just made a decision. I changed my shot pattern. I was just like, I don't care how far I hit it. I'm just going to get the ball in play, whatever I got to do, get it in play, and I ended up winning that week. So sometimes your changes can be a strategy, sometimes your changes can be swing related, but the ones you most often hear about are guys making swing changes. So I mean, I've made swing changes, but I think the thing that's helped me over a period of time is, you know, working with Tom on my body, I've gotten a lot stronger, and just physically I think it's made it a little easier for me to do some of the swing stuff I've been working on with Daniel. Just some endurance is a little bit better. And then just the longer you do something, the more you start to believe in it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's a combination of a lot of those things. And normally I think it takes, you know, at least 3 or 4 months if you diligently make a change before you start to really see, payoff results.
Yeah. So what's your schedule?
My issue has been I've made changes, but then I hadn't got in a ton of tournaments. So you just
right.
It's hard mentally when you're not playing a full schedule to, you know, you got time to practice because you're not in as many tournaments, but you don't have as many tournaments to work with.
So. Right. Right. And when you practice. come off Detroit like you did with a really great finish playing 14 under, you just want to stay out there. So what does your schedule look like now, Jay Bird?
I actually got in the next week. I had a sponsor exemption at the John Deere Classic because I'm a past champion that carried over into the workday event at Muirfield. So I was able to play the next week, and my putter was a little cold. I didn't hit my irons quite as good, and ended up shooting one over after 2 days and missed a cut. So. Mm. That was kind of a downer because you have a good tournament and you right. want to kind of ride it out and, like you said, create some momentum. But I didn't make the cut, but I still feel like I have some momentum because I built some confidence and I'm thankful for that. And I'm trying to just keep working on the same stuff. I have obviously this week off, but I'm going to get in the next two events on tour.
Good.
I'm going to play this next weekend in Minnesota. And then the next week is out in Truckee, California, the Barracuda. And then I'm not in the PGA. And then I have an outside chance of getting in the Wyndham Championship up in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Okay.
So went from not knowing if I was going to get in any, and I might get in five tournaments this summer. So
that's great.
Play the Corn Ferry. So
that's great.
Six. So
I'm thrilled for you. I'm happy for you, and I know that you are too because you've been working hard. But we got to take a break, and we're going to be back live with Jonathan Bird on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
Hello. Good morning, Back Nine Boys. This is Neil Lancaster from Smithfield, North Carolina. Hope everyone's doing well in Brunswick, Georgia.
And we are doing well. We want to thank Neil for that. We're back with Jonathan Bird. Jonathan, I was looking up some of your stats, and you're averaging just under four birdies a round. Your sand saves are over 60%. So your stats have been looking good. You've got five wins. You had a great tournament up in Detroit. On your PGA Tour wins, which one stands out the most from your five wins? Was it the one in Vegas?
Well, obviously Vegas stands out just from a just overall experience and memory, I've been in two playoffs, three playoffs on tour. I was in playoff in Vegas. I was in playoff the next tournament I played in when I was in Maui. The tournament champions were Robbie Garrigus, and then in Charlotte later that spring with Lucas Glover in the Charlotte tournament, Wachovia Championship, now names
Wells
different.
Fargo. Yeah.
The blank. But anyway, so I've been in three playoffs, super fun. But to make a hole in one in a playoff, obviously that was the most memorable.
Yeah.
I think they're all meaningful. To me, they all, you grow up playing junior golf and you fortunately had a lot of success and you get kind of the taste of winning tournaments and then you get a stretch on, like, say, amateur golf and you win, maybe four tournaments in a summer.
Yeah.
And then you turn pro and I've played for 20 years now.
Mm.
I've won seven times.
Right.
20 years.
Right.
So obviously they're all going to stand out in their own way.
Sure.
So
if I would ask you, how hard is it to win on the PGA Tour? How would you answer?
I just think it's extremely difficult.
Yeah.
Especially now, the young guys that are coming out, like for me to win another, I still believe I can win on the PGA Tour. I think I have the skills and the ability. But to beat all these young guys who are just so hungry, when I came out on tour, my first 4 or 5 years on tour, there was probably 10 young guys
right.
that were competitive, but I don't know how competitive we were. You know, every once in a while, one of us will win. It was just like it was unbelievable when a rookie won.
Right.
And now it's like one out of every three events, some 21 or 22-year-old or 24-year-old winning a golf tournament. And it's just, I think it's great. I mean, it's awesome for the game. It's, you know, I want to be around those guys. Just young guys are just great to be around because they just have so much energy and they're just trying to get after it every week. And they play aggressive, and they just have great mindsets. I think it's a testament to the instructors. It's a testament to college golf coaches like my brother at Clemson. They're doing a great job with these guys and just preparing them to play professional golf, the ones that have the ability to. So game's in great shape. I mean, the professional golf's in great shape. And it's just hard to win on the PGA Tour. Just so many good things have to happen.
You
just have to be really disciplined those weeks, and you got to really put a lot of time in. You get your game ready. You got to make all those putts inside 10 feet through a week, and you got to get some breaks go your way.
Yeah. Well, while you were in Detroit, your son Jackson had a pretty good tournament at the Golden Isles Invitational. In fact, you put out something on Facebook saying, "We both shot under par on the same day." How cool was that for you?
Yeah, we both shot 5 under on the – I think it was on my third round and his maybe last round.
Yeah.
On Saturday. Yes, I mean it's always a thrill for me. I mean it's a thrill for me just to go to the golf course every day with him, watching him hit it. He's pretty impressive for a 13-year-old. He's about to turn 14, but watching a kid who's 13 swing it 117 miles an hour and ball speed, you know, high 160s, almost 70. And he just drives the ball so straight. I just love watching him hit it. You know, he still has a lot to learn about playing tournament golf, but, you know, to go play in the Golden Isles and play against a lot of good local players and a lot of good college Division I players and get his name up there and get, you know, a top 15. Extremely proud of him. He's a hard worker.
Yes, he is.
Loves it. He likes being out there, and it's fun to watch.
Yep. All right.
Excited to see where he, how far he can take it.
Yep. That'll be fun for you, I'm sure, and even funner for him. I got to ask you one more question. We got one more. Did you decide when you went up on Facebook? Did you decide to keep the stash or not?
Oh no, the stash went away. I kept it for about a week and a half. But then, as all things happen, you come back and you're with your wife, and she always has the final say on anything, and you know, won't kiss me with a mustache, so it's got to go.
You got to have it. Hey, Jonathan, thank you for being with us. Good luck in the rest of the year. You know, we just root for you all the time. Thank you for being with us and taking the time on a Saturday morning.
Well, thanks, guys. Enjoy your show.
All right, thanks. Jonathan Bird, 5-time winner on the PGA Tour, 2-time winner on the Korn Ferry Tour. Just had a great tournament up in Detroit. He's in a couple more, so we just wish him all the luck. So thank you for being with us. We appreciate your time on a Saturday morning. ESPN Coastal is where you can find us, ESPNCoastal.com. Every Saturday and Sunday morning from 8 to 9, the Back Nine Boys, thank you for being here.